Every time Change Sunday, I have this memory of it was the fall change. So in the fall, you go back an hour, and we're in Kamloops, and I'm in my office, and our bass player comes in, and it's like, it's 9 o'clock. He's early. It's probably even 8:30. He's early for practice, and we're sitting around, and we just kind of chit-chatting away, and finally he says, where is everybody? And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's like 9:30. Where is everybody? I said, oh, it was time change last night. It was actually 8:30. Oh. So we had an extra cup of coffee and had a good visit. But that is not to be, that wasn't actually my very best moment. My very best moment, when I was a youth pastor in Duncan, I was at the church on a Saturday morning, and this guy comes in his shirt and tie and suit, carrying his big Bible, looking real important, all ready to worship Jesus. And he goes, where is everybody? I said, it's Saturday. True story. And then I said, well, you need to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're on at 10 o'clock or whatever time it was. Tomorrow we're on at 10 o'clock. And so I waited for him for the next Sunday or the next day. He didn't show. It's like, I only go to church once a week. I burned it on Saturday. That's it. That's it. So we are kicking off a new series, but I want to give you some context, let you know where we're going, what we're doing, that kind of a thing, so you'll remember. I know I said this a couple weeks ago, but I also know that we don't remember what we said yesterday, so we'll go again, right? We kicked this off in January, reset, and we talked about letting Jesus reset our heart and our mind and our soul. And then we finished off last week our big faith series. Claudio, I just crushed it. Last week with the be it message and a call to living in and by faith to see God do amazing things in us and through us and among us. And this week we're kicking off a series, or post-Easter rather, we're kicking off a series. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but it'll be a series on life in the Spirit that will run from the second Sunday in April through to Pentecost Sunday. So that's where we've been, and that's where we're going, and where we are today is we're kicking off a series called What I'm Praying. You have those cards, and I want you to pay attention to those cards. We're talking about prayer in our community groups. I don't know how long we've been talking about prayer in our community groups. It feels like forever, but it's still really good. It's been a while, and now everybody, I think we're all kind of on track. So now our community groups are on track with what we're doing on Sunday, and we're building towards these prayer walks coming up. And we're putting all of that together. So that's what we're doing. And then we have the prayer cards. And I know that Claudio hit it. I know that Doug hit it. And I want to hit it again. These are really important because we're building our series. These are an integral part of the series that we're doing. So this is what I know. This is what I know, is that God responds to tangible acts of faith. I can spit a prayer out there. And, you know, and that's good. It's good to put the prayer out there. But when I put legs to my prayer, when I put legs to my faith, by doing something like writing down on my card, what my request is, you don't have to sign your name so nobody knows who it is, and then doing something like pinning it to a wall, Jesus gets kind of excited about that. He gets excited about that because he responds to tangible acts of faith. So we have to understand that God works like this. If you haven't figured this out, I'm going to give you just all for free today. God works like this. He says, take a step. You take a step. I take a step. God takes a step. His steps are bigger than mine. He takes a step. I take another step. And that's how it goes. God responds to the steps that we take. So this is a way for us to put some faith to our prayers and bring this thing together. And we believe that by making it visible, making it public, we're going to pin them there. And over the next number of weeks, next week we'll have a bulletin board over here. And over the next number of weeks, your answers are going to, as you get your answer, we're going to take it off that board. You're going to put it on that board. And if you want, you can tell us your story. How does that sound? Right? We just kind of have testimony time. Some people feel like that's going to be a good thing. So we're going to go down that road. So in this series, this morning, I'm talking about what I'm praying for our church. Next week, Claudio is going to pray about spiritual momentum. And then we're going to talk about purity and integrity, because that's an important part of life and health in the church. And we close it out the week before Easter, so Palm Sunday, with prayers that shake the room. So this morning, it's what I'm praying for the church. My text is out of Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Here it is. It's on the screen behind me. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It also grew in numbers. Pray with me. Jesus, as we come to this point in our time together today, we invite you to come and speak to us. Help us hear what the Spirit says to the church today. Help us respond with obedience, with open hearts, and with open minds. So speak to us today. So this particular passage of Scripture is what I've got a cousin who's doing a master's degree, so he's always dropping the little nuggets that he picks up on social media. And so he talks about, he's doing, his work is out of the book of Acts, and so he talks about what's called a Lucan snapshot. Luke is the narrator of the book of Acts, sharing that with his friend Theophilus. But Luke does this thing that every so often through the book of Acts, he stops and it's like takes a step back and goes, takes a picture. And then he writes down what he sees in that moment. Now, Acts 9 is a crazy, crazy chapter because it opens up with Saul. Right? And it doesn't paint a pretty picture of Saul. Saul is breathing out murderous threats. He wants to kill everyone who is a follower of Jesus. To put that in today's context, Saul is like Vladimir Putin and Ukraine. He wants to crush it and destroy it. And that's what Saul wants to do with the church. And he's on his way. He gets letters of approval, basically warrants, so that he can go and arrest these people, haul them off to jail, and make them disappear. He is on his way from Jerusalem, where he's headquartered, to Damascus, and you know the story. Right, a bright light in the middle of the day knocks him off his horse. He hears a voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That all comes to an end when the voice stops speaking. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Saul is blind. And they take him to a little house on Straight Street owned by a man named Judas. "Go to the house of Judas," Ananias was told, to go and pray for him. The funny thing is, I have to tell you this. So in my real job, as I work with politicians, every so often in question period in the house, you'll hear somebody say, "Well, the minister clearly has had a Damascus Road experience on this." In other words, they've changed. I was like, "You have no clue what that means, but I'll be following up with you immediately after this time is over." Right? So Saul has this moment, right? And he's blind and he's holed up in this place. Because what are you going to do with the thug who wants to kill everybody but is now suddenly blind? So he's there in the room, and Ananias, faithful, devoted person, is praying in his room, and God says, "I have Saul holed up in this place, and I'm sending you there to pray for him." And Ananias goes, "Excuse me? Saul, he's the thug that wants to crush us. I mean, he's Sons of Anarchy. Don't raise your hand if you watched it. Right? He's bad. He's a bad, bad guy. Wait, he's blind. He can't see. And now you want me to go pray for him so that he can see?" God says, "I've chosen Saul to be my witness." Which gives us tremendous hope. Like, if you still haven't written anything on your card and you've got somebody in your world who you think is so far from Jesus that there is no hope that anything is ever going to turn around for them, pick up the card, write down their name on the card, and perhaps God will answer your prayer and transform that life in the same way he transformed Saul's. How about that? Right? So Ananias goes, he prays for Saul, calls him brother Saul, prays for Saul, the scales fall off his eyes, And Saul begins in Damascus to go around preaching. Like now he's the celebrity speaker. Remember the old full gospel businessman days, right? I was in jail, therefore you should have me speak, right, at your event, whatever it might be. And you know, see, here's all the bad things I did. That's what Saul was doing as they trotted him around from event to event. And finally it was like, no, you need to get out of Dodge and people are trying to kill him. So they get him out of the city by lowering him down in a basket off the side of the wall. It's like, this is like made for Netflix. Seriously, it's all made for Netflix. But all of that is happening in Acts chapter 9. So we go from Saul breathing out murderous threats, persecuting the church, to chapter 9, verse 31, where Saul is now following Jesus, preaching the gospel, and the church enjoys this season of peace. Church enjoys this season of peace. Persecution wanes. Peace and prosperity take hold. And the church begins to thrive. I kind of feel like that's where we are right now. I feel like we're in this place where the peace of God, where the peace of God is resting upon us. He is strengthening us. Prosperity is coming to City Light Church. So you can say amen at any time along the way. Right? Last Sunday morning, standing at the back of the church. Amen. Ooh. Yeah, I don't get that effect back there. I don't know why, but nice. Nice job. Danny, is that you? You could just keep shouting out the amens, right? That's just totally. It's like the red applause lights, right, that pop up. You just do that. That's okay. Last Sunday morning, I'm standing at the back of the church, and I'm just watching. Claudio is opening up. And I'm just kind of soaking it all in. I'm just enjoying it because I hear people laughing and they're smiling and they're going back and forth and there's great conversation and there's incredible things that are happening. And Doug comes over, kind of sweeps up from the side, very stealthy like, because he was standing sideways so I couldn't see him. And he snuck up on me, throws his elbow into my ribs and goes, "Stop smiling, you're in church." And it was just one of those moments. It's like, wow, God, look at what you're doing. The church begins to thrive and grow. Here's what we need to see, that the ongoing blessing of God on and through the church creates a cultural shift in the community around us when we steward it properly. So what I'm saying is that it's good that God is blessing us. We're all excited that God is blessing us. It's fun to be here right now. This is a great, great time to be here. But if we just keep it for ourselves, eventually we lose it. The whole idea of what we experience, what we're enjoying now, is that we share this with the people around us. Amen. Right? We share this with the people around us. And as we do, did it come up again? There you go. Yeah. As we share it with the people around us, more people are added to our number. And that's where we want to go. Amen. The other thing, just I want to stick on this peace thing for one more minute, if you would let me indulge me just for a moment. As I was, the church, it was in this season of change. And as I was preparing this week, I wrote that in my notes. Church is in a season of change. And I reflected back to a Sunday morning last fall when we entered a pastoral transition. And it was the beginning of fall, and the colors were out, but it was starting to rain, and the days were getting colder, and they were getting darker and shorter, and it kind of felt like that's what was happening in the church, too. It was like we're in a season that we didn't want to be in, but it was a season that we found ourselves in. Now, I'm not on the board, and I'm not an elder, but I think that someone, and they would never do this for themselves, but someone needs to acknowledge this, that we are where we are today because our board and elders stood for something. Okay? There is no bad thing that happened with anybody. It was just a clash of vision and misunderstanding. But our board contended, the board and the elders contended for the unique identity of City Light because they believe that God has a purpose and a plan for City Light to be a light in the city until he comes. Right? And so to our board, some are stepping out, to our elders, a big shout out and thank you to you. Now you should do that. Yeah. Yeah. So there, that was good. So as the church has peace, and I've pastored in different places long enough to know that a church at peace gets stronger, right? And that's what the passage says next. And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. Now, it's interesting, if you look at this from a grammar perspective, right, remembering that it was not written in English, but still part of one sentence, right? And it became stronger, how? As the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. Now, I know, like, now it's all about a safe space. I have to have a safe space. I need safe space. And I get that. And sometimes we think that fear or the fear of the Lord is a negative thing. But the fear of the Lord for us is a good thing. The fear of the Lord means we live our lives in reverent awe of his holiness. Right? To give him complete reverence. To honor him as the God of great glory, majesty, purity, and power. Now, here's a life lesson. The fear of the Lord brings strength to our lives and to our relationships. I was going to preface this with, sadly, I've lived long enough, but thankfully, I've lived long enough that I'm able to see the long-term benefits of living with the fear of the Lord in my life, in Barb's life, in the lives of our friends and colleagues, people that we journey with, people that we've ministered to, people that we've walked with along the way. You can't touch the long-term benefits that come from living with the fear of God. Only a few of you said amen, but you can't beat it. You can't beat it. I know, like the enemy is like, just take the shortcut, do this, do that, do the easy thing, do what everybody else is doing. It's like, no. Do what God calls you to do. Be who God calls you to be. Live that way. You might not be the coolest kid in the room as you're doing that in the beginning, but 15, 20, 30, 40 years from now, that pays dividends. That pays big, big dividends. So that's the life lesson. The fear of the Lord brings strength to our lives and to our relationships. Church life lesson is that the fear of the Lord, Claudio, this shall inspire you. Look how many plates she's got on there. And not 10-pounders either. Not 10-pounders, but like serious, serious weight, right? The fear of the Lord brings strength and health to the body. So when we conduct ourselves as the people of God, right, as we conduct ourselves as the people of God in the Jesus way, in terms of our relationships and our conversations and how we deal with conflict, misunderstanding, et cetera, that contributes to the overall health and vitality of the body. How we live with each other as a community impacts how God is able to work and move among us. You agree? So let's commit to doing this well. Amen? Amen. All right. So we move on. We move on. We just put that weight picture back up there one more time to inspire Claudio for the gym for this week. You can slag me in announcements, baby, but I got it now. No. I'm just kidding. I want you to know, right, that we do this banter thing because we really like each other, right? We really like each other. Doug says he doesn't like me, but we know that he does, and he's just being Doug in the moment. Believers live in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, we see this. Encouragement is a Greek word, or the Greek word for encouragement is paraklesis. Okay, so some of you have been around for a while, you know there's another word, paraklete, that references the Holy Spirit or is used to describe the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the best way to think about this is that the Holy Spirit brings encouragement. It's the idea of earnestly supporting or encouraging someone. It's the Holy Spirit is like the person in your life who is always telling you you're going to make it. The person in your life who is telling you it's going to be okay. The person in your life who says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're going to get past this. Another way to think about it is he is the person who is close by. It's just the person who's always there. He's your wingman, right? Indwelling, literally living inside of you. He is your helper. He is the one who empowers you. I heard in prayer time this morning before service, you need to come. I know it's freezing cold in there today, but you need to come. It won't be cold next week, but this week it was a little chilly in there. But I heard someone pray this, God, give me more boldness. Help me to be more bold in sharing my faith and speaking about you. Right? Man, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Holy Spirit makes us secure and confident and hopeful about God's working in us and on our behalf. I mean, let's be honest. We have situations in our lives. We have moments in our lives where it is not all sunshine and roses. Sometimes it is a dark storm. Sometimes it is a rough, rough patch. Sometimes it's a dark valley of the shadow of death. And Holy Spirit is with us in all of those moments, making us secure, confident, and hopeful about God's working in us on our behalf. It doesn't matter, friend, how dark your day is today. It doesn't matter what you're afraid you might face this week. God is with you, and Holy Spirit is here to help you. Finally, the encouragement of the Spirit. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, the church grew in numbers. Now, I have to tell you, I love the idea of the church growing. I'm not going to sell my soul to see the church grow, but I will give my best to see the church grow. I'll give my best to see the church grow. I'm all in on church growth. And here's what I know. Again, after 40 years of ministry, when we are at peace and unity, peace in ourselves, at peace with each other, and in unity together. And we're in that space right now. It's way easier to talk about unity when we're all in the same space. A lot harder when we're mad at each other, right? But we're in the same space, so we're all in a good place. So when we're at peace and unity, when we are living with the fear of God as individuals and as a church body, so nobody's going rogue on us. I'm doing my own thing. I don't care what the church has to say. Love me, accept me anyway. Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool, right? When we are living with the fear of God, when we're living at peace and unity, when we are experiencing and enjoying the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, then the church can only grow, right? That's the recipe. That's the secret sauce to see the church grow. When we are living in peace and unity, when we are living with the fear of the Lord, and when we are experiencing and enjoying the encouragement of the Spirit, look out, anything can happen, and the church will grow. And he will do it in amazing ways. Now, I know, some of you have been around for a long time. Some of you have seen the good days of City Light, and you've seen the not-so-good days of City Light. You've seen City Light thriving, and you've seen City Light withered, shriveled, diminished. And for some of you, it's like, yeah, okay, preacher man, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. So let me tell you how it's going to happen. Let me tell you what it's going to look like. How is the church going to grow? Because we're so small, and we're so limited, and we're so, you know, I don't care about any of that. I know that God is good, God is big, and anything can happen. Well, I'll try that again, because that was lame. Because God is good, God is big, and anything can happen. There we go. And so here's how it's going to happen. People are going to watch us online. They're going to find us online. And they're going to move to be a part of this church. Am I right, Wade and Jane? That's what you did. People are going to move into our community. They're going to walk by. They're going to drive by. They're going to see City Light Church. And they're going to say, let's go worship with those people. Right? Right? Other people have been away for a while. You checked out for a whole bunch of reasons. Now you're coming back, right? There's people like that. Wave your hand. If you checked out for a while, but you came back. See? I see your hands. Are there others? Yes, there will be. People in crisis, people whose lives are unraveling and they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do are going to walk through our door on Sunday morning. Somebody starts shouting amen because I'm just getting fired up. People are going to come to a community event, like maybe like something called, well, let's just throw an idea out there, Wingapalooza. We're going to do a Wingapalooza and people are going to come and watch men eat hot wings on Father's Day. They're going to watch who's going to get the Wingapalooza championship belt. And you're going, well, that doesn't sound very high. I'll tell you what, Jesus broke bread and fed 5,000. We can do wings. People who live around us. People who live around us. I know that Sandra and Jane are already walking. They're just doing their own walking thing. Maybe if you want to be a part of that, you can ask if you can come along. Maybe they'll let you, right? But we start walking as a church. Now, we're not going to do weird things. We did a prayer walk one time in Kamloops, and we had this Muslim guy who was dating a woman in the church. And so we walked with him mostly because I just wanted to know how this was going to all shake out. And as we're walking along, here's this Muslim guy with his hands in the air proclaiming God's blessing. I mean, he's only got one hand in the air because he needs to read it off the sheet, right? He's proclaiming God's blessing over the houses, and I'm going, this is the weirdest moment I have ever been in, right? He is asking Jesus to bless these houses. He doesn't even really believe in Jesus. But we did it anyway. We did it anyway, right? So we're going to start walking up and down our streets. We're not going to do anything weird. We're just people out on a walk. Right? We're just people out on a walk. We're not doing anything strange. Nothing weird is going on. We're just praying for them. And one morning, one day, they're just going to get a yearning to come here. I don't know why. I got to go check out that church. They're doing that Wingapalooza thing. I might go hang out for that. They're doing this other thing. I might go hang out for that. What in the world are those guys doing? I want to be a part of that because the Spirit of God will be moving on their hearts without us ever, ever talking to any of them. How's it going to happen? We're going to invest in our community. We're going to invest in outreach. And the people that we touch in those outreach moments, they're going to come and walk along with us, right? The people that we invite, right now, because now the rubber meets the road, the people we invite to come will join us. Hey, come and be with us. Come and see what's going on. We've got some fun things happening here. Come check it out. And ultimately, it's the people that we personally tell about Jesus who are going to join us, right? City Light is on the rise. And my prayer is that we take wings and begin to soar like eagles. We begin to soar like eagles and see what he's going to do. Worship team, come and help me out. Part of this, okay, if you still haven't got your card done, do it right now. Worship team is coming. We're going to kick into a song in a second. All right. Let me pray. And then I'm going to invite you to come pin your card to the board and be a part of that. Dan, the man, you put your card up there right now. Yeah, pins are right there. Thank you, Dan, for showing everybody where the pins are. Big shout out to Angela. Big shout out to Angela. She designed these because, listen, if I went to Canva, it wouldn't look anything. It would look like a dog's breakfast. But she did a really good job, right?
Also, for those of you that are confused, that's Angela. Tim.
I got the name Angela. Right. I got the name right. I get a point for getting the name right. Give me a second before you guys start. Father, we come to you on behalf of City Light today. God, we thank you for what you are doing. You said in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? And God, we see it. We sense you at work among us. We see your hand moving upon us. And we invite you to come and have your way in our midst. Come and move through us, upon us, among us. That this church would rise to fulfill its destiny. That this church would rise to have the impact that you intended it to have when you brought us to this community, to this neighborhood. Lord, help us to push our stuff aside and to see what you're doing, what you want to do, where you want to take us. Now, you got your cards. I hope you've had a minute to write out your request on there. Some of you, if you need another card, there's grab one that's laying around. There's plenty of them. If you need more, they are at the back. So we invite you to come. What we're doing, this is a faith declaration, right? We're laying this over here. And we're going to, as the worship team sings, we chose the song on purpose. We're asking the breath of God to blow on these requests. We're asking the breath of God to work and move in the hearts of the people that we're praying for, the situations that we've written out on these cards. And so as they start to sing, I'm going to invite you to come. And why don't we stand? If you're still writing, just keep writing. But otherwise, if you've got your card and you're ready to go, stand, right? Stand. We're going to pin the cards. When that's done, when it looks like we're done, Doug is going to come and lead us in prayer.
That's our prayer today, isn't it? We want his wind to blow. We want the Father's fire to fall. What an opportunity. Tim, I so appreciate you spearheading this and to see people. There's something about seeing people. Thank you, Joe. There's something about seeing people walking forward. Everyone here has a prayer in their heart. I know that. But we take that step of faith. We put it before the Lord in a public manner and say, God, move. I have no idea why, but when I saw Rose coming up, I thought, I have to ask her to pray over this board too. So would you do that?
Lord, thank you for your peace. And as we present these prayer requests, we know that you are in control. Your timing is everything. Lord, we all probably have family members on here. I ask, Father, that you would use us, not to turn them away, but to draw them to you. Help us not to be religious, but help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Lord, you know all of these. Some are for health. Some are for salvation. Above all, Lord, we want you to be honored. We want you to be glorified in every aspect. Whether it's here in the church, whether it's at home, whether it's at our work. Lord, we want you to be honored. And Father, I think specifically at this point of the kids that I see every day at the school when I'm there, not every day that I'm there, but when I'm there, Lord, I just ask that you would help me to be open. Open their hearts to the love of Jesus. They need you so much. So many needs in our schools. So many. It breaks our hearts to see what's happening. Draw these kids to you, Lord, to your love. Show them that there is a hope. I know that there are kids on this board. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we look forward to seeing the answers in your time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Father, as we look at the board, we know that they represent situations and people that are very close to us, people that we care about, people that we want to see healed, people that we want to see come into fellowship with you. Lord, like never before, I pray that we would be your feet, we would be your hands, we would be your voice, you would give us boldness. And Lord, I want to celebrate ahead of time that for the first card that moves from this board to the other board. Father, we praise you. We thank you that you've heard our prayers. You know, Lord, work now. Father, for this group today, bless them, Jesus. Thank you so much for the time that we've had in your house today. Amen. Amen.